I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of 1 Corinthians and the chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read a few verses from this passage of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said under the inspiration of the Spirit, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. In the book of Luke's gospel, it's recorded that the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue at Nazareth one day. And when the Savior went into the synagogue, they handed to him the book. It was the book of Isaiah. And it says he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I think it's a tremendous privilege tonight to stand in this pulpit to preach the gospel, because I follow in the steps of the Savior himself. Because this passage that the Savior read, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Jesus said, "That's what I'm doing. This very day," he said, "this very thing is fulfilled in your ears." It's a gospel to the poor, to send healing to the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captive, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It is a life-changing gospel. Friend, that's what the gospel is. It's life-changing. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Life changed. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There's a man in the Scriptures, his name was Saul. That was his Jewish name. His Gentile name was Paul. We read about him in the a lot of the New Testament, don't we? Saul of Tarsus was a man. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. He was the tribe of Benjamin. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's what he said was his record. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says that he went to the high priest, and he begged of them letters that he would go to Damascus, and if he found any that were off that way. Now, that was an interesting statement. That way, that was those that were Christians. In other words, followers of Christ, because Jesus said, I am the way. And therefore, they talked about Christians being in that way. And so Paul had got this authority, or Saul of Tarsus, he had the authority to go down into Damascus, and he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Boy, he hated the church of Jesus Christ. Didn't I say he was a Pharisee? What was the Pharisees? Strict religious rulers. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had a great religious background, and yet he was lost. He was religious, but he was lost. And as he was going down that road to Damascus, something happened, friend. A light shone from heaven. Now, the Bible says, around him. Now, there were others with Saul. But the light didn't shine around them. The light shone around him. Because the Lord came for him that day. And the voice of the Lord said unto him, Saul, Saul. And the Lord effectually called Saul that day. Yes, he called him by name. The rest of them, yes, they saw there was a light around him. But they didn't hear the words. Why? Because the message was for him. And friend, that's what happens in the meeting. Men and women can sit all around you, and many be totally untouched, and yet there's somebody in the service, and the Spirit of God just comes for them. The message is for them. And God gives that effectual call of his grace. And God cried out, the Lord Jesus cried out, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And friend, that day, something happened. He fell to the ground. And he said, who are you, Lord? Who art thou? Religious? But he didn't know the Lord. He's lost. But thank God the Lord didn't leave him in that way. Because that day the Lord changed everything for Saul of Tarsus. His life was changed. Listen, his devotion was changed in a moment. Because whenever Ananias was told to go to Saul, in that street called straight, it says, behold, he prayeth. Praying to the one that he despised and hated, wanted to persecute his people. And now his devotion's changed. Listen, friend. His destination was changed that day. Because riding down that road, he was on his way to hell. As a lost religious soul. But thank God that day, the Lord changed everything. In a moment of time, the Lord changed him. And this very person who hated the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that record in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, concerning his conversion, the Bible tells us that he arose and he was baptized after that Ananias came in and the scales fell from off his eyes. And thank God he was gloriously and wonderfully converted. And the Bible says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ. What a change. straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. What was he heading to the synagogue at Damascus for? To arrest them. To persecute them. To put them to death. To bind them. Take them back to Jerusalem and put them down as the offscouring of the earth. And now what does he do? He stands amongst them and he preaches unto them in the synagogue. He preaches unto them Christ. Natural fact, verse 22 of chapter 9 says, "And Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Changed. So much change, friend, that whenever you turn to the book of Romans chapter 1 and he introduces himself, he says this in verse 1. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Do you notice how he put that? He said this, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." Do you know what he put? He put the servant before the apostle. I think if that had been you and me talking about ourselves, we probably wanted to put the apostle first. But not Saul. Not the apostle Paul, friend. He says, "I'm happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Yes, I was called to be an apostle, and I was separated unto the gospel." Separated. He was changed. But friend, what is the gospel? What is this gospel? He was separated unto the gospel. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we read together this evening, Paul explains what the gospel is. He said this, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Verse 3, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." You see, I'm delivering this message because first of all, I received it. I know this is real because the gospel was real to me. I'm telling you this gospel because the Lord changed my life by the power of this gospel, and I want your life to be changed too. He said, "Christ died." That's a fact. Yes. An indisputable fact, friend, that Jesus Christ died. But then it says Christ died for our sins. That's the reason he died. It was for us. For you and me. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then it says he was buried. Now he was buried. There's the proof of his death. They didn't bury someone who was alive. No, he was buried. Why? Because he died. And then he was buried. The proof of his death. But it doesn't stop there. It says verse 4 that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And friend, let me tell you, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. He died for our offenses. He was raised again for our, or because of our justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So why was it important that Jesus rose again? Because that was the attesting to the fact that God accepted the sacrificial work of Christ upon the cross for us. The law, through the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, the law was magnified, justice was satisfied, and God was glorified, and God was satisfied with the work of Christ. And God wants you and me to be satisfied with that which has satisfied him already, the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And God wants you and me to rest our souls upon that. The word gospel means good news. And friend, I tell you, you see the man who stands up and preaches the gospel, really preaches the gospel of redemption through the blood of Christ, I'll tell you, that's a man bringing good news of healing for those whose lives are broken, of pardon for men and women still bound and fettered and chained by their sin, of deliverance for the captive that Satan holds in his grip. You see, religions are man's search for God. But the gospel message is the revelation of God's search for man. There are many religions, but there's one gospel. So let us look tonight, as God gives us help. What is this gospel? Well, go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, he was separated unto the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. Yes, you see, he said he was a servant. He was called to be an apostle. And then he was separated unto the gospel of God, set apart for the gospel. Just keep your hand there one wee minute just to see the miracle of the saw. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. And this is what Paul tells about his salvation, his conversion. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Notice this. I think this is important to get this. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Let me tell you, friend, the salvation and conversion of this man, God had it planned. See, if anybody seen that boy going down the Damascus Road breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people of God, they say, there's the worst criminal in the country. There's no hope for that man. And yet, what did Paul say in Galatians 1? He said, it pleased God who separated me. What? When did God set him apart? From my mother's womb. There's the choice and election of God. And then it says this, it started there. He separated me from my mother's womb, and then he called me by his grace. And on the Damascus Road, Jesus said, Saul, Saul. He called him by his grace. But that wasn't it over, friend. He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I would have a living relationship with Christ, that others would see Jesus in me, that I might preach him. That's what it's all about. That's what the preacher's job is. Preach Christ. Preach him. Notice the wonderful plan, sovereign plan of God in Saul's conversion. And friend, you and I don't see it, but that same sovereign plan was the sovereign plan of God for us who are saved. He set his love upon us. He called us by his grace to reveal his son in us. It's the gospel of God. Do you get that? Why is it called the gospel of God? Because it speaks of God.
It is from God. It brings men and women to God. It's the gospel, the good news of God. When I want to trace the gospel, I go back to its source. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And when I think of my salvation, but let me tell you, before it ever reached my heart, I was in the heart of God. And my salvation plan was in the heart of God, who planned it from all eternity. You see, the Father planned it. God the Son executed it. God the Holy Spirit applies it. There's the triune God in the work of salvation in a soul. Isn't that wonderful? But then turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul expands this. It's not only the gospel of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11 it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. It's called the glorious gospel of the blessed God, because it's a gospel that truly is glorious and brings glory to God. You know, when I was thinking about this and preparing again, I thought of the words of her sister Louise Wells. Whenever you talk about the Savior and about the things of God and the gospel, she says, brother, it's mighty. It's mighty. Friend, it is. It's a glorious. It's a mighty gospel. It's a glorious gospel. And you and I ought to get excited about it. You see, the glorious gospel reveals God's glory. And God's glory is the splendor of his attributes, his love, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, his wisdom, his power. It's all in this glorious gospel. The gospel is a perfect revelation of all the attributes of God. Remember, it's the gospel of God. Let's move quickly. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the gospel of Christ. In actual fact, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 talks about the glorious gospel of Christ. There it is again, the glorious gospel of Christ. You see, the Father planned salvation for sinners. But the Son bought our salvation at the cross. It's the good news of Christ. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, listen, that he might bring us to God. He brings us to God. Who's the he? It's Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 verse 26 says, he appeared to put away sin. Who did? He, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared. What for? To put away sin. Not to help us to save ourselves. Not to make us savable. No, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And it's because Jesus Christ put away sin, He died on the cross of Calvary. He bare my sin and all the suffering and all the hell that was due for my sin. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bare my sin in his own body on the tree. And because Jesus Christ died as my substitute, praise God, God the Father can righteously pardon and justify me, the vilest of sinners, who rest upon Christ alone. That's the way I'm saved. Through Christ. Through Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Get this. Through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Our Lord. And friend, I say this tonight. If you're depending on anyone else, if you're depending on church to get you to heaven, I don't care if you're a free Presbyterian, if you're depending upon this denomination to get you to heaven, I want to tell you, you'll be in hell. This church is not the way of salvation. Thank God the one we preach is. We're saved through Jesus' blood. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel, the glorious gospel also of Christ. But I'm giving you these headings. You study the rest. Go to Romans chapter 10. We have another phrase. Because this glorious gospel that I have to preach tonight, that God has called us to preach, Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 13. It's well known, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach, what? The gospel of peace. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. But it's the gospel of peace. Why do we need that? Why is that important? Because Ephesians tell us that there was a time that you and I were afar off from God. You and I in our sin, we were alienated from God. We were separated from God. We were without God, it tells us. We were without Christ. We were without hope. It's all in the book. We were dead in our trespassing and sin, and there was nothing we could do for ourselves. But friend, it was something else. It tells me that we're at enmity with God. Enemies of God. And men and women in their sin, you may come to a gospel meeting. You may sing the hymns, but if you're not saved, let me tell you, your heart is at enmity with God. You're at war with him. Why are you not saved tonight? Because you will not yield your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You will not let him take control of your life. It's a gospel of peace. You see, thank God we're reconciled to God. It tells me in Ephesians 2, for he, that's Jesus, is our peace. Not only he made peace, but thank God he is our peace. We have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, isn't it lovely to put your head down in the pillow? And there's not one of us know if we want to lift it up again. But to know whatever happens, All's well. All's well.
And our families may grieve our parting and they want us to stay. But God has called us to go. But Paul said, listen, he's absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm not to fear. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why?
Because it was a shepherd who fought the lion and the bear.
Nothing to do with that, friend.
He says, because thou art with me. All's well.
Tell me, friend, if this is the night that God was to call you, and it could be, I don't care how old you are, how young you are,
if this is the night God's to call you, tell me, have you peace with God? Through the blood of his cross.
So a preacher one time went in to see an old man who was lying dying. And as the old man was coming near the end of the journey, and his eyes were closed, and he thought he'd never open them again, and the old preacher leaned over and whispered in his ear, friend, have you made peace with God? And the old boy had opened his eyes, boys, the wide open, he says, made peace? My, that would be too late. He says, Jesus, nearly 2,000 years ago, he made peace for me through the blood of his cross. And that's where you find peace, friend. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very quickly, turn to Acts chapter 20 now. And you go home, if God spurs you, and if you're a child of God, think about this again. Because in Acts chapter 20, and verse number 24, there's another description. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of grace. What's grace, friend? It's great riches at Christ's expense. It's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. I don't deserve to be saved. I do not deserve to be in heaven, but praise God, I will. Because of the saving grace of God. John Newton, he wrote those words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. By grace, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. If God hadn't been gracious to me, I'd either be on the way to hell or in it itself. But God in his grace stopped me. Brought me to the cross. And thank God, won my heart with the gospel of grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice this all's in Christ, isn't it? Isn't that lovely? That's all you need. Should all the world be against you? If you have Christ, friend, if you have the Lord Jesus, you have everything. Everything you need for life or death. One last one. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this, in whom ye also trusted,
After that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation. It's our gospel of salvation. We sang the hymn tonight. Jesus saves. I've often told you before, I never saw any of my grandparents. But the night my granny left a wee family of 8 children behind, down in the heart of Arbour. Whilst they were waiting, knowing that mother was very ill, they sat quiet with the father. And mother was down in her dying bed. And then they heard singing. They went down into the wee hallway and looked in, because there used to be the windows and the doors, some of the doors in those days. And they saw a mother pulling herself up in the bed. And the dying mother was singing, "We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves." Friend, he still does. Tell me, has he saved you? Are you saved? It's a gospel of salvation. Men and women, you don't need to perish. You don't need to die in your sin. You don't need to go on with your sin stains still scarring your soul and weighing you down. You don't need to fear meeting God on the day of judgment. Thank God Christ can save you. Save you from your sin. He finds us in our sin, but he saves us from our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sad to say, there are many churches today, and they've heard another gospel, which is not another. For Paul said, if a very angel was to come from heaven and preach any other gospel than the gospel I have preached, he said this, let him be accursed. And the word there is this, let him go to hell. That's what God said. And the man that stands up in the pulpit and tells the congregation that they're all right, do the best you can, be baptized, be catechized, be confirmed, go to the communion table, yes, go through the motions and the rituals of denominations, and they're leading their congregations down into the depths of hell itself. What an awful eternity! Stand before God Almighty and the record of their life's read. And they led their congregation to the damned. Let him be accursed. But sad to say, many accept another gospel. The health and wealth gospelers. It's not offensive to the world, friend, because it offers what the world wants. And they're happy with it. I want to tell you as I close tonight, I've come to tell you good news. Sinner, there's a Savior. You don't need to die in your sin. You don't need to perish. There's a mighty Savior. And his name is Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus. I love you now. Tell me. Do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour? For friend, if you don't, remember this. Jesus says you'll die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. You can't come. It does not matter what the preacher says over your coffin. It does not matter what he says standing at the side of your grave. Jesus says if you die without Christ, without knowing him as Savior, you'll perish. And that for all eternity. I beg you tonight, with all the love in my heart, don't go out into God's eternity tonight unsaved. Come now. Is our God ready to pardon? Will you cry out, Lord, save me? Praise God, he'll do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take of this word and write it upon the hearts of those that have gathered here. We pray that our God, our Heavenly Father, that through the foolishness of preaching, we know that thou hast ordained to save them that believe. And tonight, Lord, I just ask thee in Jesus' name that thou wilt speak to the hearts of sinners. Don't then let them go away without you. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Meeting will be over in a moment. Let me give an invitation. Charlotte, I wrote the words of that hymn. She asked one day a friend how she could be saved, how she could come to Jesus. Her friend says, Charlotte, you come as you are, a sinner. And she wrote the words of the hymn, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Before I finish, friend, I sing that verse. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl in this meeting tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd love to be saved. I know I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. Would you indicate that desire? I'll gladly point you to Christ, friend. As others have left, we'll go to that little minister's room at the back. We'll open the word of God and show you God's way of salvation, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood is the one in the closing moment tonight. You say, preacher, I want to be saved. Would you point me to Christ? Would you lift your hand right now above your head that I'll see you? Up there in the gallery or downstairs, but I beg you, don't go away without Jesus. There's a one tonight. Will you claim the gospel, good news, and as your Savior? Father, separate us for thy blessing. We'll leave the results of this meeting with thee. This meeting has been registered for eternity. Oh God, may not one leave this night unsaved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless his word to your heart. Friend, don't go away without Jesus. God bless you.